May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.
Howdy, howdy. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for February 2nd, 2019. And today I'll be going into some Aquarian insights, not just for 2019, but also for the Aquarian age at large. In my previous show 2 weeks ago, I touched on the full supermoon eclipse as a trigger event for reset of geopolitics in the global economy. And if I have time, I'll be going into that more today. You might say that the full moon eclipse was prelude to the new moon in Aquarius of February the 4th. So these energies are aligning with the sun in Aquarius now. And with the moon in Aquarius, we'll see a double whammy of Aquarian energies that can be a good time for tuning into those universal principles of Aquarius. These principles that are of global importance that will define and refine the millennial Aquarian age. So Aquarius, if you tune into the energies of Aquarius, people that understand astrology, it has to do with kind of a universality of principles, kind of an intellectual, inventive, inclination, idealistic, and very positive, optimistic in terms of an innovative way of looking at the future. And I'm going to be going into different aspects of that today because we're at a time when, at the cusp of Aquarius, when a lot of major transformation transitions are in process. And full disclosure of my own perspective, like I say, is I've got this momentum of energy that I came to understand with astrology at an early age that had to do a lot with this innovation, and I've been kind of a futurist, innovative with strong aspects of Aquarius in my astrology. Uranus, the planet Uranus, rules Aquarius, and my Uranus is strongly aspected in my chart. So I've always been kind of, again, intellectually oriented. It's an air sign, but I've got a lot of fire there, and with the aspects of Uranus, which is very lightning-like, like the Flash, like Mercurian, can be very insightful, with flashes of insight. And I've been very much a visionary much of my life, ahead of my time, a lot of arrows in my back, like at the Aries, pioneering the new frontier of whatever, inner space, cyberspace, the internet, and quantum science. And again, Aquarius has a lot to do with science, technology, communications. So I'll be touching on that today. And I did want to reference a little bit of the astrology of this new moon Aquarius. The understanding of quantum field energies with the astrology as it relates to mass psychology, there's a certain geometry in this new moon in Aquarius. And of course, I've talked extensively in previous shows and on my blogs about, the geometry of divinity, the order of the universe, geometrically ordered divinity, the fractal order of the holographic universe, how it's all basically geometric fractals in energy fields within fields within fields. And these are the principles, the first laws, the first principles of astrology that when you understand it like you would understand homeopathy or acupuncture, dealing with the energy body, there are some really unique aspects going on right now with the creative triangle that is actually strengthening as the moon comes into alignment with the sun, with this new moon, not just alignment, but conjunction with the sun. So you've got basically the blending of their both of their energies in Aquarius. And this is going to be happening again on the 4th. I'm giving a show on the 2nd, and my podcast will have links to the narrative that I'm going to go into now, the two recent blogs that I've done. As many of you know who listen to the show, I've been doing a kind of a review of the news week to week and then talking about it on the show. And I've been on my blog, I take recent articles and videos that are in the news that you won't see in the mainstream media, you know, kind of an alternative perspective, or Ripley's Believe It or Not kind of, you know, stuff that that is what I consider kind of critical of the week news, videos and articles that go into, you know, subjects that usually are along certain themes that I'm focusing on. But today I'm going to be, you know, touching on quite a few different elements, and I'm going to go through this hopefully not too fast so that, you know, I don't basically lose people with too much information overload. You know, I'll try to modulate the fire hose, so to speak. You know, and when I get going, I can be that way, as people know. You know, it's like, you know, just too much information. So taking it from the top, I'm going to go into the blog that I just finished today, articles and videos, and if I have time, I'm going to go back into the previous week that I've had in a website, and I'll provide that link with both of them that you can follow along. Those who are listening through the podcast, you can follow along to the links to those articles. Those who are listening live today can go to the website at www.heartcom.org. 2019 heartcom.org/2019evolve.htm, and that's a capital E on evolve.htm, 2019evolve.htm, and it's the only capital letter in that string. But I'll have that link, you know, in the podcast where most of you will be listening to this, and you'll be able to go through. If you can open this up on in another window on your computer, I don't know about your smartphone, but now you could actually follow along as I'm going through this. I go off script quite a bit on the show, and using this as kind of a frame of reference for some of the highlights that I've reviewed over the last couple of weeks. So this is an Aquarian Insights, Aquarian Highlights I'll be focusing on today, which is, again, like I say, one of my favorite subjects. And I provide some inspirational videos, you know, at the end of both of these blogs. Some people like to get into what I refer to as the high state and the deep state, you know, the contest of freedom that's going on in the world right now. And I'm going to be orienting to both of those. But a brief synopsis on this Aquarian perspective today, you know, with the new moon in Aquarius, is that this year of 2019 is the year when a high state of Aquarian enlightenment worldwide is ascending to a more unified vision of cooperative co-creation for United Sovereigns of Earth. Now, the principle of Aquarius has to do a lot with communities, social networks, tribes, you might say, extended family, and the spirit of cooperation thereby. And of course, on the largest level, we have, you know, the spaceship Earth, and with the internet, you've got, you know, billions of global netizens connecting in social networks. And you might say the family of mankind in our global village is uniting. So this is the larger community in Aquarius, the age of Aquarius, the millennial Aquarian age, is addressing this is being addressed by, you know, the spirit of Aquarius at this time with this new moon in Aquarius. So taking it from the top, you know, the high state of Aquarius that is being initiated with really strong impulses at this time, it helps to understand that the millennial age of Aquarian freedom and love, which is one of the attributes of Aquarius, is known as freedom in love, is being initiated as a unified mind field that is a gold mine if only we mined it with our intention for conscious ascension, which is to say to involve and evolve our individual and collective high state as a common sense of shared vision for our victory, unity and diversity, co-creation with love. So freedom and love is often referred to as the keynote for Aquarius, or freedom and opportunity, you know, in the great spirit of love, universal love. Not so much a personal love, not really an impersonal love, but a universal that embraces both types of love, personal and planetary. So this is a reference to what I call the Aquarian mandate. There are principles of Aquarius, that the first principles of Aquarius, and I have a link in an article that goes into these principles, as I refer to as the Aquarian mandate. And this is, you might say, in essence, if you want to get into geometrically ordered divinity or the first principles of cosmic universal law, is the understanding of universal rights in the public sphere with the linear plus nonlinear synergy in the Trinity on four sides of the pyramid supporting the capstone, the creative ascent process. Now, that's a geometric metaphor that references the law of the one, you know, the public sphere, the law of the two and one, you know, universal rights like right angles, linear versus nonlinear public sphere, and how they combine is like the left and the right brain, how we do brain switching moment to moment between both hemispheres. And there's a trinity, you might say, or a synergy in the trinity between the left brain and the right brain through the third eye, you might say, where there's a synthesis. And this model or metaphor of this integration of the four sides of the pyramid of self and civilization, which is again as a metaphor, you know, like a square with a cross through the middle and a circle and the center, referencing this idea of the capstone. And I emphasize in the graphics on the website the CAP of capstone, referencing the creative ascent process. And this understanding of the Aquarian mandate is basically to evolve the process of evolutionary ascension, conscious evolution, revolution, revelations, you might say. So this is, you know, this is a subject for people that are into conscious evolution, personal and planetary, that this is their language. This is, when I say that, it is the language of the angles as frames the language, the law of the angles as frames the language of the angels. The law of the angles, geometrically ordered divinity, as frames the language of the angels, which is heart coherence. And heart coherence is like the frequency of holy compassion, as Buddha would refer to it perhaps, but the idea of the golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm, when it is the frequency of holy compassion, there is actually a frequency, it's a golden ratio algorithm, again, of the heart rhythm, when it's in that frequency of holy compassion. And that frequency is virtually the fabric of the universe is held together by that coherence. It's the there's basically three principles throughout all fields. fields within fields in the universe, right dynamic energy fields, round magnetic energy fields, and radiant energy fields. And there's different attributes of that referred to in electrical theory, electrical principles. I'm not going to go into that technically. But the understanding of that in terms of pure geometry, you can see in the language of astrology, in terms of trines in your chart, trines, you know, the 120-degree angles, sextiles, 60-degree angles, and squares and oppositions, of course, right angles, you know, linear, again, versus nonlinear round magnetic fields, which is a blending of energies. So there's these geometries, you might say, these principles are truly universal. They're woven into the fabric of the universe, from the atomic to the galactic, and the model of this love model with characters, geometric characters, the L, the linear L, the nonlinear O, the Trinity with the V, and the E that, you know, represents looking down on the pyramid with the capstone in the middle. This is one way to orient the law of the one, the two in one, the three in one, and the four in one. And, of course, the fifth principle is the capstone. It is God, love, source, vision for accessing, you know, the Akashic records, you know, basically the mind of God with effective sensory perception. And this will be an Aquarian, you know, age phenomena that will become more common. You know, there's an etherealization or an ephemeralization of energies going on in the collective consciousness, whereby less is more. And we've seen it with the evolution of technology from hardware to software to netware, you know, where the computer became the network, to hardware, to frequencies, to energies. That are within the internet. And again, less is becoming more, just like now in your hand you can hold, in a handheld smartphone, you've got more power than a giant mainframe computer that filled up a room that they used to get the man on the moon. That's how less is becoming more. Well, this whole trend is moving towards, again, etherealization or ephemeralization is the word Buckminster Fuller uses, whereby less is more, where consciousness is becoming the catalyst. It's not the technology of consciousness. More and more, we'll see this understanding of the learning process, the creative process, the processes of consciousness. All is a function of the ascension process, and again, ascension of our gifts and talents in terms of our cognitive abilities, and there's a process involved. And I like to put it in simplistic terms sometimes, in terms of it's not aptitude as much as attitude that'll determine one's altitude, you know, whether we soar with the eagles on thermals of grace or scratch with the turkeys on bugs of begrudge. So I'm going off script a lot here, and I do want to get through a lot of this, so I'm going to move on to this understanding of where we're at with the a big challenge to global freedom and opportunity. I mean, there's the challenge we're seeing. You might say light, the Aquarian light brings up all unlike itself. It's, you know, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not. And the collective consciousness is kind of struggling with an identity crisis. The global humanity right now, there's this accelerated enlightenment going on in the collective consciousness as a result of, you know, several decades now of the computer internet revolution. You know, knowledge power has been available to the masses. So there's this general enlightenment, and it's created awareness of the opportunity and the challenge of this global identity crisis, which, you know, coming out of it, we'll have a new identity of ourselves as a whole, you know, globally. as the family of mankind in a global village. But right now, it's like much of the collective consciousness is like a willful teenager who is very confident, you know, that no longer a child, and yet not yet a competent adult. You know, teenagers can be that way. You know, that they basically, they kind of know it all in some regards. They can be very confident and yet not really competent yet because they haven't had a lot of life experience. Well, the world is like this. The world is a global village as a whole. And how we can cooperate and coordinate communications as a whole, be going into that, because this is Aquarius, the spirit of cooperation, co-creation, you know, whereby we coordinate our gifts and resources and basically put our heads together in the spirit of what's best for all, you know, and working together to make the kind of world that we want to see. So we're at that a real turning point right now. I call it, you know, a time to really step it up with an awareness of the uniqueness of the window we have, especially with this new moon energies, for tuning into Aquarian principles, Aquarian processes, Aquarian energies. And metaphorically, I'm massaging this message, you know, in the show today, because, you know, the understanding of what the millennial Aquarian age will be, you know, the flashes of insight that come through Uranus, and again, Uranus is the planet. Uranus rules Aquarius, and it can be very brilliant insights. And this is a time that with this double whammy of, you know, the moon in Aquarius and the sun in Aquarius, and also considering the unique astrology that I referenced before, it's called a creative triangle that's going on with this new moon in Aquarius, that there's a real, you might say, synergy in the trinity of this creative triangle with different planets and influences at the time. And again, a lot of astrologers don't go into the geometry a lot, but I think it's where it's most interesting, because it's the blending of energies of not just the sun conjunct the moon in Aquarius, but both of those influences are sextile planets. So the sun and moon is sextile Mars and Aries, which is cardinal fire. And Mars is like, you know, it's like base chakra energies, like raw power. And of course, Aries is cardinal fire, and Mars is exalted in Aries. And that is sextile, you know, this sun and moon conjunct in Aquarius, which is air. And the air and the fire, air feeds the fire with, you know, in a strong way with that sun, moon in conjunction. And so you've got not just that strong energy, but the sun and moon are also sextile Jupiter in Sagittarius. Now, Sagittarius, it's a fire sign also, and it's a more intellectual fire. And Jupiter has a very expansive religious, philosophical, educational energy to it in that fire sign. And that fire sign of Jupiter in Sagittarius is trine Mars and Aries also. And it's also, along with the Mars and Aries, Uranus is in Aries. And Mars is actually conjunct Uranus. It's kind of a wide conjunction, 5 degrees, but still their influence, there's a blending of that Mars and Uranus energy, which is sextile sun and moon. Anyway, there's a blending of all those energies together with the trine of Mars and Jupiter, and both of them, Mars and Jupiter, sextile sun conjunct moon. Now, again, people that understand the language, the law of the angles, the language of the angels, as far as the harmony of the spheres and the harmony in terms of the geometry and the blending of the energies and how that affects the collective consciousness of humanity in a very subtle way. Just like homeopathy is very subtle on the energy body, and acupuncture is very subtle and yet can be very helpful to the energy body, you know, one's energy body. It's the same way with astrology, psychology, and the collective consciousness. This is a point of initiation with this aspect of the sun and moon, you know, this new moon in Aquarius. So that's enough for the astrology. I'm going to go on to what's going on with these aspects in the collective consciousness at this time. So what we're seeing is the initiation of the Aquarian Age as the initiation of billions of us as united sovereigns of Earth, you know, who are connecting, communicating, the creative energies, you know, through social networks on the internet worldwide. I mean, the estimate is between 2 to 3 billion people on Earth are now connected in social networks through the internet. And of course, the internet is instant everywhere. It's interactive. And it is initiating the spirit of community within social networks, within the planet at large, because basically, just like we're all brothers and sisters, the family of mankind in a global village of instant everywhere interactive communication capabilities. And because of this, there's been this process of enlightenment, general enlightenment, this waking up, wising up, and rising up in the spirit of global cooperation, as in a high state of co-creation. This is the spirit of Aquarius. So with this understanding, there's been an alliance rising. And so I give a little bit of an update on the uprising of the alliance, and it's in three parts. I have three articles. And this is the process of coming into unity for real community in local and global social networks. And the three parts in the articles, and again, this is in the first article on the 2019 evolution that I'll provide this link in the show notes. And the three parts are referred to as the transcending deep state depression, you know, as the high state transforms the deep state. Number two is mindful mediation of the mass media, high state upgrade of social media. And number three is the alliance ascension process unveiled, you know, our revelations, reset of unity in our diversity. And those are kind of keynotes, a lot of loaded words and terms there. I provide links on those three parts that you can go to and read on your own. We don't have time to do it now. There's some in-depth material there for her who are really into this conscious evolution process in a personal and planetary way, and this transformation from the deep state to the high state. Now, these terms I'm using, deep state and the high state, I use them a lot, and a lot of times the context, how I use them, will explain their meaning. But as a general rule, we're talking about, in the collective consciousness, we're talking about a high state, which is kind of like the opposite of autism. I mean, we hear about autism a lot, you know, full spectrum autism. You never hear about full spectrum enlightenment, you know. You hear about autism all the time, you know, the problem state, but you don't hear about the high state, you know, the solution state. So I kind of do the play on words with the understanding of a high state in terms of an ascended state, an evolved state, a more enlightened state, you know, a more mindful state. And the understanding, you might say, at the highest level of the high state is atonement, as at-one-ment. You know, as in the understanding of the words communion, communication, community, you know, with unity for all of us. A unity state as universal solidarity of united sovereigns, you know, the US model, US unity state, universal solidarity, united sovereigns. And this is the understanding of at the highest level of the high state. We're talking about unity and diversity. And by breaking down these words, communion, communication, community, and conscience, we get into, you might say, a well-rounded understanding, a spherical consciousness of these word meanings as one. For example, communion. is the highest level of communication. That's beyond words. It's the spirit that matters, with pure intention for attention on one's ascension in a dimension of enlightened comprehension. The spirit of at-one-ment as communion. And communication, when we understand that authentic communication is a process of coming into unity for real community, not virtual community or pseudo-community, but real community with shared meaning, value, and ultimate purpose. Again, I'm orienting the first principles of Aquarius: cooperation, communication, community. I mean, real community is like extended family. And in our global village of all connected internet reality, it's the family of mankind. And you can have real community in any social network, whether it's a governmental community or a religious community or an educational community or a healthcare community. You can have basically relationships with many people, like an extended family that you identify with. And this understanding of unity and diversity as a kind of a collective conscience, not just sense of consciousness with all these different consciousness, individualized consciousness, but the shared common sense understanding of conscience with a capital C, that, and this comes back to the understanding of how civilization is being transformed very quickly by our new social conscience and our social networks. And social conscience is naturally cultured when 5D interactive social networks are upgraded with a universal interface for global upgrade, you might say, of our five core internet freedoms with the language of light, of consciousness, as consciousness. I provide links in the narrative here under conscience where, you can go into the understanding of what universal interface I'm talking about, what five core internet freedoms I'm referring to. There's a link on that. The language of light of consciousness, light as a language. There's a link on that. You can, people, and if you haven't read that link before, you might say there's some enlightenment going on there. There's an article I have in the context of this narrative that explains that the scientists, and this is just the new article just came out this last week, scientists have discovered that biophotons in the brain could hint that our consciousness is directly linked to light, which I was just referencing, the language of light, of consciousness, as consciousness. Well, they discovered these biophotons in the brain that basically reference light language, the language of light of consciousness. So I was like trying to make my point, the language of light. I found this just a couple days ago, this article that just fits in there perfectly, to segue into this understanding of general enlightenment as a function of the language of consciousness, the language of light itself. So there is a collective 5D, and when I say 5D, again, I have a link with the website that goes into this understanding of the different dimensions as far as different frames of reference for consciousness. And again, 3D, 4D, 5D, we hear those terms, but laying it out, you might say, with some geometric metaphors that geometrize the meaning with some, more clear understanding. That's the link I provided on 5D. And again, I'm not talking about 5G. 5G is something that, it's like harmful radiation. And the collective 5D is evolving as effective sensory perception, which is aborted by harmful 5G radiation. And I say that harmful 5G radiation. You know, that they're installing 5G around, you know, major cities around the U.S. now, and they're setting up to launch satellites, to beam it from satellites. It damages, 5G damages our DNA transceivers. They found that our DNA is both receivers and transceivers of energy, of intelligence, of light. Just like they found biophotons in the brain, there's biophotons as a function of the DNA. There's energy. And then DNA acts as a transceiver. It's like a two-way, you know, receiving and transmitting function of light, energy, biophotons, whatever you want to call it. And the 5G damages the DNA. So, I mean, it's well documented, but a lot of things get pushed through because the economics and politics are more complex than the science. And it's the same problem we're seeing with artificial intelligence. You know, like there's a moral abuse of AI, as we've seen with Facebook and the Google algorithms that are being used for perception, deception of our consensus. You know, and there's many aspects of this that's been coming out in the alternative media. The mainstream media doesn't talk about it very much because they're largely subsidized and funded by Facebook and Google, and politicians in the same way. They get a lot of huge contributions from Google and Facebook to run interference with any serious investigation about what they're doing as far as how they're really messing up the democratic process, because they're skewering consensus in multiple ways using algorithms. So you might say a lot of this stuff that's going on is an existential crisis. Some people would say, you know, rather melodramatically, that we're looking at an extinction-level event. It's definitely some serious stuff being challenged, but the opportunity is very quickly, in a virtual twinkling of an eye, things can not just turn around, but really check balance and harmonize, you know, kind of a homeostasis in the energy grids of the planet, of our consciousness, and our social, political, and economic institutions, etc. So, I mean, the idea is that either we conceive, believe, and achieve the high state, you know, for unity's sake, or by default, the divisive deep state dystopia will do what it's always done to invert, subvert, and pervert the spirit that matters. And the quote that I have here that references core issue is by Eric Severide, you know, who was the CBS newscaster for years. I think he was CBS. But he said that the biggest big business in America is not steel, automobiles, or television. It's the manufacture, refinement, and distribution of anxiety. Now, that's quite a statement. But when I thought about that and I kind of tuned into it, you know, if you think about that, because of the high levels of anxiety in America, and we're talking about because of all the social, political, and economic, you know, changes and issues, that a lot of people are taking drugs for a wide variety of anxiety disorders. I mean, kind of like a nation of functional but depressed people who are struggling to control severe anxiety and depression, if not hysteria, for those who are sensitive to the desecration of life that we see with chemtrails, with fluoride, with pollution of the environment, toxic genetic chemicals in our food, air, and water, you know, and, you know, you can go on and on and on what's going on as far as the desecration of life on the planet and how many species are either extinct or close to it. So there's this issue of anxiety disorders a lot of people have, and the medical industrial complex feeds on anxiety. I mean, anxiety is a huge profit center for big pharma. So at this point, I include this article by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who explains how big pharma completely owns Congress. It's a good article, just came out a couple days ago, 3 days ago, 2 days ago, from collectiveevolution.com. He emphasizes how big pharma has a large hand in how the American government creates healthcare policy, of, by, and for drug pushing. I mean, it's America's most profitable deep state monopoly, you might say, is Big Pharma. And so there's an issue there. And you know, again, this is an issue that's could turn around very quickly, and there's kind of a full-court press going on all these deep state activities. And, I mean, it's like coming to a head, you know. It's like a major transformation going on from deep state to high state. So it's good to keep in mind, you know, to visualize the high state alliance, you know, what that looks like, that will end the deep state reliance. So the alliance that'll end deep state reliance, and we're talking about a turning point that's been reached in the shift, you know, the big shift from deep state to high state. I mean, the global economic reset is now part of this process. This is what's going on behind the scenes. I mean, we don't talk about this in the mainstream media much at all. But it helps to understand how an economics of abundance is emerging. You know, free energy technology, energy healing technology, all kinds of, you know, abundance can, and I'll be going into that a little bit. But the understanding that the military-industrial complex, government cabal, et cetera, has not been very forthcoming about the full disclosure of the secret space program and all the abundance that can be released from new technologies. Well, some of them aren't even that new, that have been suppressed. So enlightened citizens globally are aware that President Kennedy's assassination was largely because he intended to tell the world about the secret space program, as is well documented in the video that I provide, you know, in the narrative. And again, those who are got the window open and following along with the narrative, you can pause, you know, the podcast and watch this video, which is really amazing. I mean, it really lays bare how he was killed to keep the secret space program hidden from the public eye. And I reference here now a quote that I had in, I believe it was one of my previous shows recently, that, and this is from David Wilcock, and I provide a video link that you can go to right where he makes this quote at about 12 minutes into the video. And he says that the technology in the secret space program is so vast it could literally solve all the problems we have on Earth. Well, that's quite a statement. But that's, you know, the vision of Aquarius, solving all the problems on Earth, you know, the Aquarian age, the millennial Aquarian age. You know, how close are we to that? I mean, is it going to be, you know, within the next decade? Are we going to see, you know, all this stuff being disclosed? And, I mean, talking about the major change in the way we do things, I mean, this could be huge. I mean, we're talking about how advanced technology that's, you know, been concealed could now be used to clean up the environment, bring life to the deserts, life extension for our bodies, evolution of the economy with abundant TLC virtues, you might say, that transcend the oxymoronic value of scarcity that's known to create and manage scarcity for the profit and power of a relative few. In other words, we're talking about the abundance that could provide it creates virtually a whole new economic order, an economics of abundance rather than an economics of scarcity. I mean, the question we all have to ask, you know, as we're, you know, on the cusp of Aquarius, is does the need of the 99.99% outweigh the greed of a few? I mean, those who have the trillionaires, you know, who are more concerned with consolidating and concentrating and multiplying their wealth than creating abundance for civilization at large. I mean, you know, this is where we're at. This is the issue on the cusp of Aquarius. And this is, of course, part of, you know, we're winning from the beginning with the vision of virtue and valor for the victory of this process. And this is where it's going. But in the meantime, you know, this is the ethical dilemma that the society is struggling with. Are we going to maintain the status quo paradigm paralysis with the value of scarcity? Are we going to have a paradigm shift, from centralized elitism to decentralized high state unity? I mean, this is the shift from deep state to high state, from centralized elitism to decentralized unity. And this is, we've got to this point as a part of the natural evolution of the computer internet revolution, whereby our social conscience has matured in global, all-connected social networks, you know, culturing a new conscientious common sense. I mean, that's the truth of our high state destiny. I mean, sooner or later, this Aquarian age manifestation, this is what's in process. So the real test before real community is typically fake community with chaos, cognitive dissonance, and dis-ease that disrupts a high state of unity and diversity for all of us, you know, united sovereigns worldwide. And an example in point is, you know, like witness this last week's flashpoint in the global crisis of conscience, you know, the Venezuela crisis. And I reference here, this is a prayer alert. I mean, this is an issue of the week that came up that, you know, put it in your Ruby Ray guns, you know, intense love, you know, and charge it up and have a blast, you know. More love, more light and love, you know, into the darkness and the density, what's going on. So I provide an article link at this point in the narrative, you know, that is from the X22 report, and they do some really good stuff sometimes. And this just came out a couple days ago. And it references how, if you watch that video, which I've linked, it explains how Trump is gaslighting deep state tyranny, which is to say he's highlighting, what's going on with, you might say deep state tyranny, and I'm going to provide some quotes in this regard. This is from Zero Hedge. This came out just January 24th, about a week ago. And it references how the American empire has pivoted towards Venezuela. Now, this issue, these some excerpts from this article, with the attempt to push Russia back in Syria, a clear failure, the neocons in Trump's administration quickly got to work on their next scheme, enter Venezuela. Venezuela has the world's largest oil reserves, and its efforts to remove this oil from the Khazarian mafia's petrodollar system is the real reason for the attempt to overthrow President Maduro. And those who are not familiar with the Khazarian mafia's petrodollar system, the petrodollar, you know, the economics of the fiat dollar being underwritten by oil, you know, big oil currency, you might say, it's been tied to that for some time. Now, when the free energy technology is released and going and being deployed, with the economic shift in full development, we will see, of course, the free energy technology. It provides the abundance that is beyond being pegged to dirty oil, you know, dirty air, dirty water because of petrochemical pollution. So we're talking about, this is an issue now. With Venezuela has the world's largest oil reserves. And Venezuela also has the world's second largest gold reserves. And a lot of those gold reserves is because they've had so much oil on the world market, they've been, you know, selling it and buying gold. So with the global economic reset going on, which, again, we never hear about in the mainstream media, the global economy being reset to a Russia, Chinese, and BRICS nations gold-backed currency. So Venezuela gold reserves have strategic value also. This is why this last week a Russian airliner flew out tons of gold from Venezuela to Russia. And also, and I provide a link on the article on this, a London bank refused to repatriate tons of gold back to Venezuela that they had sitting in these London banks. And they wanted it back, and London bank said no, and you can read the article on that. So this is the kind of dynamics that's going on right now. And to quote again from the article, The move by the Trump administration to choose the leader of Venezuela by diktat is just straight-up imperial geopolitics, nothing more, nothing less. Well, I do provide an article on that at before this that gives another perspective on what's going on as far as the Trump administration, how it's gaslighting the neocons and the deep state with this whole issue. And you might say exposing and bringing world judgment to bear on the subject. But this is what people are reading worldwide. Again, to quote, leaders in both China and the U.S. will be looking for a scapegoat as their crony financialized economies struggle under unpayable debt and unimaginable levels of corruption. This is both leaders in China and the U.S. So there are some of the dynamics there. There's another article you can read on this. Globalists want Venezuela as the next jewel in their crown. This is from Collective Evolution from a couple days ago. And again, you might say enlightened netizens worldwide can now witness the hubris of these corrupt power elite globalists whose time is short and fear, wrath, desperation is a rather self-evident truth. In other words, they're kicking and screaming, you know, in the process of being challenged with global economic reset where they're not in control as they were, so to speak. So anyway, this all too shall pass. Keep the faith, folks. I mean, the deep state media is not reporting the good news of this global economic reset that can underwrite the Genesis Project, which I talked about in the last show. I'll provide links again in this show. This is for rapid deployment of holistic healing in core social, political, and economic institutions for rise of the high state. This is an Aquarian vision of how we can cooperate, coordinate, basically co-create the future we all want. And I have a quote here by Glenda Green from her book, Jesus Speaks, Love Without End. And this is Jesus who's saying, as she basically references, quote, humankind is standing precariously on the edge of its destiny. It will either rise to a paradigm change or experience decline and possible destruction. This is an unavoidable confrontation. The options will be presented and the choices will be made. Unquote. So we have Aquarian options and choices before us as united sovereigns of Earth. We have the greatest opportunity the world has ever known to co-create our global reality. The genesis of global freedom is ascent of universal love, the creative ascent process, the capstone, components to the capstone vision of universal freedom and love. So the ordained power of love is a higher power than the inordinate love of power, and nonprofit universal telecare is a higher standard than drugs for whatever ails you. Now, when I refer to nonprofit universal telecare, that's part of the Genesis Project. It goes into the understanding of universal telecare for the analysis, prevention, and management of disease with informed choice services. And you can read the link on that, go into that. It's like an Aquarian vision of healing of the healthcare system. And Web 3.0 Heartware Telecom is a higher platform for upgrading core net freedoms. Now, the five core internet freedoms, there's a link on that for those who have not tuned into what Aquarian Age freedoms will look like as a function of core constitutional freedoms, you know, the Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, assembly, petition, government, etc., and what an upgrade will look like with the Internet. I mean, we have a horse and buggy legislative system still, you know, in the Internet age, but what will an upgrade look like? And this is an Aquarian vision of how good things could be for all humanity with technology that exists now and how it could be utilized in a simple way that could be deployed quickly, you know, and you know, and virtually no cost to the public, you know, a self-funding model, and how that works is explained again. For those who are interested, can go into it and tune into, you know, what this Aquarian vision will translate to. So the bottom line is that as long as the love of power is allowed to invert and virtually pervert the power of love, the incentives of the disease care system for profit will continue to try to subvert nonprofit health care, you know, the global telecare model. And in the same way, the incentives of crisis for power and profit, you know, the false flag frame-ups that we see on, you know, periodically, it will in the same way try to subvert peaceful unity. You know, like there's no money in peace, just like there's no money in health for the medical industrial complex. There's no money in peace for the military industrial complex. So this is you know, this is the shift that's going on. All this has to change. Anyway, I'm not going to get through all of this. I will provide the links. You can read on your own. I provide, again, some inspirational videos that you can watch at the end of this one and the former blog, and I'll provide that link that I did a couple of weeks ago, or this last week, actually, and you can read that also. I want to thank you for listening. This has been a lot. There's a lot more if you're interested with the videos and articles that are linked on the show notes. So thank you so much for listening. Keep the faith. See the good. Happy trails. Till we meet again. Bye for now.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.